love. All of these things are a means to an end, one that is even more tangible, the state of well-being. Now, it's easy to accept someone else's high-sounding phrase of what the goal of life is, but by what standard has that someone selected the thing that he is posing as being the purpose and meaning of all life, especially my life? Why must I have self-esteem, for instance, unless it is simply to have a durable, settled state of mental well-being, free from the uneasiness and anxiety that would exist in the absence of the well-being? Well, we'll come back to this in a few minutes. But we saw last week, too, that each person is living in a world of his own. This means that it is unrealistic to expect him to act from your knowledge, because his world is bounded by his knowledge. He has nothing more to guide him than his own knowledge, his own experience and observations. Your standards are meaningless within the confines of his world because he's not operating from those confines. Your knowledge only controls your actions. And since this is true, you cannot expect him to owe you anything, because he will do what is profitable to him. Not only that, his method of determining what is profitable to him will have to be based upon his own knowledge. Now, since this is so, I suggested that you always start at zero, a concept that I'll explain in more detail as the course progresses. But it has many applications. Here, its value is in recognizing that you begin by expecting nothing from others. Since they owe you nothing, you count on absolutely nothing at the outset. As you wish to work out productive ways of getting happiness, you will integrate plans and complications and long-term contracts and so forth into your life. But by starting at zero, expecting nothing, you do this one at a time, recognizing and accepting the vulnerabilities of each of these arrangements as it comes into your life, instead of starting out in the middle. You will make contracts. You will become interdependent with other individuals. But this doesn't mean you simply accept a whole host of such vulnerabilities and say, well, that's the way life is, you have to work these things out. That would be starting at 37. What you want to do is start at zero and then take on each relationship one at a time, making sure you can handle the vulnerability that will be yours if the other individual doesn't do what it is you want or expect him to do. Now, I'll go into this concept more basically and offer some applications of it next week. Tonight's purpose is to construct a code of conduct that you can live with, one that will bring your life maximum well-being, the maximum well-being that you're capable of obtaining. But of course, as I said last week, you will have to construct it. I cannot possibly do it for you, because what I think is good or wonderful or right or happiness-bringing applies only to the world that is bounded by my knowledge. And it has no bearing, it has no sovereignty whatsoever within your world. You will have to discover it for yourself. The only thing I can do is to assist you, to make it easier to recognize the consequences of acts. If I'm successful in doing that, then you can construct the morality more easily than you could otherwise. But it will still have to be yours. All perception is subjective, and so you will have to decide for yourself. There's no point in relying on me or anyone else. When I was 19 years old, I had recently rejected a dogma that I had grown up accepting. I had grown up with this, I think, mainly because I had never been exposed to any other real possibilities in life. But after rejecting this one dogma and getting out on my own and being a nonconformist now and so forth and so on, I came to find another philosophy that seemed to fit somewhat comfortably around me, and I began to base my decisions upon it. And then one day it suddenly dawned on me that I was accepting the basic premises of this new philosophy on faith alone, just as I had the previous philosophy. Well, of course, it is said you have to have faith in something. Well, maybe I do, but why this? Why this particular thing out of all the millions of things in the world I could have faith in? Why this one? Well, I posed this sudden realization of mine to a friend of mine named David Curry, who had introduced me to the new philosophy and practiced it very religiously, and he made a suggestion to me that changed my life. All right, he said, why don't you simply make up your mind that from now on you will not accept anything that you cannot prove for yourself? Now, at this distance, to you and to me, that might not sound like a very novel or earth-shaking statement, but to me at 19 years old, it was my emancipation proclamation. It was the answer to 100 unresolved questions, and it put everything in place in my life. Prior to that time, I was an individual.